He took my burdens all away. Up to the rising,
He gave me a song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song. I now can sing. In the heart the Lord bells ring.
He gave me a song.
He gave me a song.
A wonderful song.
A wonderful song. He gave me a song.
He gave me a song.
To sing about.
To sing about.
He lifted me.
He lifted me.
Good morning and welcome to our service, worship service this morning. It's good to see everybody here. We may have one or two visitors. Good to see y'all. We got one visitor, hadn't been here in a while. Good to see her. Anyway, Zach's out of town. He's in Pine Bluff this week. And Buster and I were going to cover, and Buster said he wanted the second one, so I got the first one. Anyway, what I'd like to talk about a few minutes here is following instructions. Instructions are a huge part of our life, whether we're at work or at school or at home or at play, and probably far more important, our spiritual life, following those instructions. Not following instructions can lead to failure. And spiritual failure is very serious because it leads to false religion and death. In the workplace, did you know that in the workplace, common law says a person cannot be expected to follow an employer's instructions for various reasons? One, you wouldn't be expected to follow employer's instructions if it's unlawful, or if it's unreasonable, or if it's outside your qualifications, your abilities, your skill set. For instance, on equipment. If you've not been trained on equipment, it wouldn't be right. Carrying out such a directive could cause serious or imminent risk to the health or safety of the employee, or and other workers that are near. If the above mentioned are not violated, instructions must be followed or you could lose your job. some examples in the workplace. If you went to an airline and asked for a job and they hired you, do you think they would put you in a pilot seat that first day, your first day at work? Can you imagine getting in a 737 and flying from point A to point B? That's not going to happen. You're going to need a lot of instructions to do that. And if you do find yourself sitting in the seat of a 737 and you don't know how to fly it, the best thing for you to do is get off the airplane. I was hoping Tommy would be here this morning. I tried to check on Tommy Campbell and I didn't get a reply this morning, but as everybody knows, he's got COVID. He and Pam are both sick. But I thought about his example. He worked at a chemical plant in his career. And can you imagine going to work at a chemical plant and your employer telling you, I need you to go deal with this particular chemical or process, and you have no idea what he's talking about? That would be unreasonable. Things like that, it's real easy to understand. We don't need to do that. The last place I was employed, I was employed as a planner to plan maintenance work. And one thing I noticed is no matter how much effort you put into planning the job, how much detail you added to it, you would generally always miss something, or the employee, the workers would not follow the instructions. But you could have pretty bad outcomes if everything's not done right. So that's kind of looking at the workplace. What about school? I asked Kathy to give me some examples. We got a bunch of teachers in here, and I asked Kathy to give me an example about kids not following instructions. And she talked for about, we was on Interstate yesterday. She talked for about, 200 miles or something. I never did get a real good excuse from her, although they were all excuses and things that the kids that would use. But what came to my mind the most, this is stuck in my mind forever. I'm going to tell the Corky McCorkle story. And I know there's some of us in here that had him for a teacher. And we knew when you moved in, first time you had him as a teacher, you knew that he had a trick test. And the test was pretty simple test, but the first instruction was to read and follow all instructions. Well, we knew that somewhere in those instructions it said, do not answer any of the preceding questions. That would be the last instruction on the page, and turn it in. Well, we, as kids, our friends would tell us, man, you got to be careful in there because he will use a trick test on you. But sure enough, you would go to his class, you'd get comfortable taking his test, you'd look through all the instructions, and when you got comfortable with it, you got to where you would just take the test and start filling it out, get done as quick as you could. And then all of a sudden, there's that test, and you had written all over the paper, and you got down, there's that last instruction, do not, answer any of the questions, just sign it, turn it in. And of course, most of us failed that instruction. Jim, did you have it? You remember that? You don't remember that one? Johnny, I know Johnny does. Anyway, that was my good example of following instructions at school. Kathy gave me a bunch of them, but I'll just move on. All right. At home, following instructions at home. How many in here have tried to put a swing set together? You get in a big box. It could be anything, but I'm going to use swing set because that's a good example that I failed. You get a box and it's full of parts, and you get a complete instructions, and it kind of at the first instructions it said, caution, read all instructions. Well, I'm much smarter than that. I can put a swing set together without instructions. So what you end up doing is you put it together and you can make it work, but then you get down towards the last and then there's a bolt that you used earlier that's got to go here. And you have to take it back apart and move the bolts around just to finish it. How many have done something like that? Almost everybody, probably. Anyway, putting things together and following instructions really important. At play, if you're just in leisure time, you need to follow instructions. I got into scuba diving years ago, and I really enjoyed that. I think I'm too old. I about give that up. Hadn't been underwater in a long time. But scuba is a self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. And basically, you're on life support while you're underwater. You're on life support. So you need to know how to do it. So the instructions are real important. If you don't follow the instructions and you make a mistake, you could seriously injure yourself or kill yourself. One of them being that you just breathe normal. As long as you're breathing normal and you don't go too deep, everything's fine, and you just come back up. But if you quit breathing and you come up too fast, you can get what they call an air embolism. That's where air, make an air bubble in your arteries and veins, and it will cause you to, I don't know what you call it, you'll have a block, it's like a blockage. Your heart will quit, or you can have a problem with getting blood to your brain. Anyway, you have to do what the instructions say. You can't get around that. So what are some of the excuses you hear about instructions? And why are we so reluctant to not follow instructions? One of the biggest ones that you hear is instructions are for dummies. I've heard that a lot in my life. What do you think, I'm a dummy or something? Why you tell me that? One of the other ones is we don't have time to read the instructions. When you're buying something or signing up for some kind of service, a lot of times you won't read the whole thing. You just sign your name. And what about the lawnmower? You just bought a lawnmower. You don't need to read that. It's going to rain tomorrow. The grass is 6 inches tall. You need to get it mowed. So you just go mow the grass. You don't read the instructions. We're lazy. Seriously, who needs to read directions on something as simple as a lawnmower? You put gas in it, you pull the cord, and you go, right? That's pretty simple. Well, unless it's an oil-gas mixture lawnmower where you have to put oil in the gas. Another excuse you hear is we already know everything. Everybody knows the know-it-all. You can't tell them anything. They already know it. I got to look at the clock, figure out how much time I got. I got to get to the real stuff. We aren't too bright. Some of us could read the instructions and still mess it up. Why bother reading instructions? Just give it a try and call customer service. Good luck on that. Most customer services, you can't speak their language. You know, I know everybody's been there. And a lot of us just think common sense is enough, that you've put chains on bicycles and assembled bed frames. How hard could it be to put that swing set together? Remember that earlier, I talked about that. You know why they have emergency rooms at hospitals? Because people don't follow instructions. Now, I'm not talking about health issues. I'm talking about injuries. We didn't follow instructions. We end up emergency room. And then another one, we'd just rather call the helpline and let them talk us through it. That's another one. But the most important thing about instructions is our spiritual instructions. What about our spiritual instructions? Where do our instructions come from? Everybody knows that. Comes from the Bible, right? The Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. I think we had that in the bulletin years ago, B-I-B-L-E. And how would we know what to do if it weren't for the Word of God and for our instructors, or we call them teachers and preachers? We begin, our parents teach us, and then later our Sunday school teachers, and we listen to the preacher. That's how we learn about the Bible. And the Bible has all the information we need to live a life according to God's will and to get you into heaven. Not following God's instructions can lead to self-made religion or false worship. Okay. One must look to the Bible and read and study the instructions. It is full of real life experiences of real people that knew of God's instructions, and some followed the instructions and some didn't. So we're going to look at a few examples longest. I'm going to quit on time. I'm not going to go over. Anyway, we're going to look at some characters out of the Old Testament. The first one we're going to look at is Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, which included 10 of Israel's 12 tribes. He reigned for 22 years. Jeroboam was not from the line of David. He was one of Solomon's administrators, but through the prophet Ahijah, God compelled him to rebel, promising to give him a dynasty of as lasting as David's, so long as he obeyed God's instructions. So he gets his instructions from God through Ahijah in 1 Kings 11 and 29. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. Now Ahijah had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah laid hold of the new garment that was on him and rent it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee." And we'll skip down to verse 35. "But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and I will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, in the city which I have chosen to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all thy soul desire, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and give thee Israel unto thee." So we see there that through the prophet, Jeroboam was given some instructions, and he knew what was going to happen because God had given them to him. So he has his instructions. Then you remember the story. Solomon died. Rehoboam became king. Rehoboam was one of Solomon's son, became king, but would not lighten the burden of the people. He would not listen to the old men and lighten the burden. So the people revolted, and the 10 tribes followed Jeroboam. So in 1 Kings 12 and 20, "And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was returned, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only." Okay, so he's gotten his instructions, and the people have made him king. And then the problem is he rejects God's instructions. Jeroboam did not trust in God's promise. Instead, he devised his own plan to secure his reign. So I'm going to read a little bit here. 1 Kings 12 and 25, beginning. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein. And he went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now will the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem, then will the heart of his people turn again to their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one at Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made houses of high places and made priests from among the people that were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he went up to the altar and did, and so he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the high priest of the high places that he had made. And he went up unto the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, even in the month in which he had devised it in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel. And he went up unto the altar to burn incense. What we've just read is someone, a human, a person, not following God's instructions. And folks, this is how false religion gets started. A person or a man or whatever decides what is better than what the Word of God is. So this is how false religion can start. Where's the source of false religion? Human wisdom. But remember, in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are always of death. And in Jeremiah 10:23, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. So we have a warning about using our wisdom to change God's word or his instructions. His motive. What was the motive? It was a good motive, you would think. Jerusalem was too far to travel. So he said, well, I'll do it here, and people won't have to travel. And was that an appeal? Evidently it was, because the people followed him. It was convenient not to have to travel to Jerusalem. The appearance of that, it appeared like what God had commanded. That's the danger of false religion. It can appear like what God said. The effect, what was the effect of that? Well, God's word is perfect in everything. But anything else will degenerate. Different place of worship, the golden calf, different feast, unqualified priest. It went from what God said into something that just was terrible. 2 Kings 17 and 9, and the children of Israel did secretly things that were not right against Jehovah their God. And they built them high places in all their cities and towers of the watchmen to the fortified cities. And they set up them up pillars and ashram unto every high hill and under every green tree. And they forsook all the commandments of Jehovah their God and made molten images, even two calves, and made an Asherah and worship all the host of heaven and served Baal. Okay, what's the result of that? Eternal damnation. What happened to Jeroboam? And it came to pass in 1 Kings 13:4. And it came to pass when the king heard the sayings of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that Jeroboam put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back. So the king was going to command that Ahijah be taken and killed. And when he reached out his hand, it dried up, and he couldn't pull it back. And that's the rest of that's another story. But the altar was also rent. And the king then answered and said to the man of God, "Entreat now the favor of Jehovah thy God, and pray for me that my hand be restored again." And the man of God entreated Jehovah, and the king's hand was restored him again, and he became as it was before. And the days of Jeroboam reign were 2 and 20 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. Our actions have long-lasting effects. Right here, what Jeroboam did, the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they departed not from them, until Jehovah removed Israel out of his sight, and he spake by all his servants and the prophets. So Israel was carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. I've got 2 or 3 minutes, something like that. So I got a 3 or 4 pages of New Testament warnings, but we won't have time to get to them. But just understand, it's a very serious thing to distort the Word of God. You don't want to do that. So, in conclusion, man-made religion is as wrong today as it was at the time of Jeroboam. I think everybody understands that. Let us refuse false religion and worship God in spirit and in truth. In John 4:23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers of God, worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day and all the blessings of life, and thankful for this opportunity we have together to study your word. We're thankful for your word, and it's our path to home in heaven with you. And we pray that each one of us will look at your instructions and study and try to do the best to obey your word. Be with us for the remainder of the service, or following services. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.